Hi there, welcome to the Retail Gazette Unpacked podcast. I'm your host, Kieran Howes, and we all know that payment security is incredibly important. It fundamentally defines the success or failure of your business. If you make good money and it gets taken by fraudsters, if your customers' money gets taken by fraudsters, probably it's going to spell a bit of a nightmare for the business. However, even though we know it's really important, do many of us actually know how it works? Well, that's exactly what we're talking about today. We have an incredible guest, Candice. She'll introduce herself in just a minute. And she's going to pick through the facade of payment security and tell us what's actually going on under the hood. If that sounds as fascinating to you as it does to me, I would recommend that you listen on.
Good morning, I'm Candice Presinger. I'm the Director of Customer Data Security here at L1 Merchant Payment Services, part of US Bank. And I look after everything that helps a merchant reduce risk, cost, and helps them to ultimately optimize revenue.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being with me, Candice. It's a pleasure to speak. Obviously, this forms part of a series that we've done. We've spoken to a few really interesting people in L1. So I feel like we're really getting to grips with this area that we're talking about. And I'm sure that we're going to really add some value to that today. So I want to kick off by throwing a bit of a hard question at you. Obviously, you have been on the front line of payment security for quite a while now. It's very much your area. So what I want to know from you is, what is the single biggest blind spot that you see even the top retailers are experiencing when it comes to protecting their revenue through secure payments?
I think that's a really interesting question, actually. So in my experience dealing with all the merchants and the largest ones, that the biggest blind spot, I would say, is not recognizing that payment security done well is a huge lever to revenue growth, not necessarily being able to identify or not looking for hidden leaks in the payment process at each step of the journey.
And you say that it's obviously, you know, it can be a revenue driver. Now, for most people who aren't in this space, you know, payment security is a necessary part of their business. So what do you mean when you say it can actually be a revenue driver?
So our report indicates that every abandoned transaction and every chargeback is quietly eroding a merchant's margins. And in practice, if retailers were to treat payment and fraud detection as a priority rather than an overhead, they would be able to avoid some of these silent revenue killers. The more fraud, the more security breaches a merchant has, the higher the processing fees become. There's higher risk of penalties. And as we mentioned, chargebacks is a huge emergent problem that quietly drain revenues for our merchants. I think I saw somewhere that research estimates that losses to online payment fraud are going to be somewhere around the $360 billion dollar threshold between now and 2028. And wow. Yeah, that's a lot of drain. So security and fraud done right can really help avoid a large number of these losses.
Amazing. Well, that's really great to hear, because, you know, every conversation we're having with retailers at the moment, they know that, you know, the year ahead is not going to be the easiest time. There's loads of different legislation and global events that are kind of eroding potentially that margin. So that's fantastic to hear. I want to kind of hone in on the other side of that equation as well. So when we look at kind of PCI DSS compliance, it can often feel like a bit of a tick box exercise to a lot of people. But where do you see most retailers stumble when it comes to kind of the hidden cost of getting it wrong. So, you know, you've talked a bit there about how actually you can claw some of that back. But is this something that is just rampant out there? Is, you know, is it that the most retailers are finding that these profits are just eroding underneath them?
100%. And I, looking back, and actually my remit, looking after our merchants and their payment security posture, that PCI DSS, so PCI Data Security Standard compliance, is often viewed like a box-ticking exercise rather than a baseline of security around data. So whether it's payment data or any data, it's a really, really great place to start to secure an environment. So I think many retailers do stumble by seeing PCI DSS compliance as paperwork and not, as I've just said, a lever for business growth and ensuring increased profit. The frameworks are really there to help and avoid these far-reaching costs that actually, at the end of the day, they are ultimately financial, but it's reputational. It can be existential threat at the end of the day. I mean, I've dealt with merchants that have actually said to me after a data breach, I may as well shut my doors. They don't look at the baseline security that these standards set out. Common missteps can be, you know, they're using outdated systems. They haven't actually understood their full payment scope. They don't train staff, or they certainly don't do ongoing operation of security controls. And the fraudsters are on the march. Technology, it's those that don't, that see it that way. The hidden cost of these mistakes can be enormous. Card brand fees, the card brands charge when a data breach happens per transaction, and more, say, for online transactions. And then there's the regulatory fines for payment data breaches under the GDPR. These can dwarf any compliance effort. So I think that is probably the biggest mistake, is that sort of misunderstanding.
Yeah, and obviously we are having this conversation at an incredibly interesting time. This year, I'm sure one of the major talking points from the year will continue to be the data breaches at, you know, some of the highest levels in the British high street. Incredible stories, really scary stuff. And of course, all retailers will be looking at these breaches that have happened and going, my goodness, you know, is it a matter of time before this happens to us?
Yeah.
Really interesting times.
I absolutely. And I think these bad things happening are almost fortuitous for some to really rethink the security agenda. I think tone from the top is absolutely key. And some of the C-suite in these unfortunate organizations we're reading about will definitely require a shift in attitude to security, and it will be a top agenda item. But I think I read also in the report that fear of change. So I think only 40% of employees support major change, and leadership have got to really make that security and organizational priority to avoid losses later, and compliance must really no longer be seen as paperwork. It is your best friend.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And actually, talking about kind of combating that and getting on the right track, I know that Elavon has recently launched the transaction risk analysis, obviously combining AI and biometrics. So interesting. However, I'm wondering for our listeners whether you can kind of break down in plain English what's actually happening under the hood and why it's such a game changer for approval rates and fraud control.
Yeah, absolutely. As Eric said, and you've alluded to, it is a game changer. It is basically smart real-time risk scoring. So we call it TRA, it's transaction risk analysis, and it can be used at all stages of the buying journey. So it doesn't need to just be checkout. It's where you've got accounts, sign-ups. Under the hood, we use machine learning, hundreds of device biometric signals to analyze each transaction's risk literally in milliseconds. Also, doesn't just look at the card and rules, it is the card holder and everything that they're connected to. So it's extensive link analysis. So it's almost like fraud rings. It's kind of like FBI technology happening in milliseconds to determine whether a transaction should indeed be processed from the get-go or stopped right there. It means with using TRA, the system learns that a purchase is probably illegitimate and stops it. Helps to alleviate the friction, so the burden, say, of strong customer authentication that was brought in by Payment Services Directive 2, which means that, and you'll have all our customers, we have to go through additional security checks, and it introduces an inherent layer of friction. But TRA can allow cardholders to skip those extra checks. So therefore, it reduces risk while making checkouts smoother and faster, and ultimately boosts approval rates. So more money, more revenue for the merchant at the end of the day. And I think if you think about TRA as well, again, in the optimization sense, it dramatically cuts false declines on good orders. So whilst you're trying to block the bad, you're blocking the good. And I think that the cost to retailers is something around $600 billion globally for lost orders by trying to block the bad. You're stopping the good ones too. So TRA can really help retailers see more sales approved automatically and focus on the few high-risk cases and give them the benefit of the doubt by stepping them up with, say, 3DS. So it's win-win for security and ultimately more money at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because obviously those are the two things that are going to be on people's mind when we're talking about transactions. And that is, they want that experience to be as frictionless as humanly possible, but also it's the gateway to opening yourself up as a business, isn't it? You know,
100%.
It's such a, if you get it wrong, such a dangerous thing to open yourself up with. So I'm wondering, obviously the solutions are getting smarter, but I think it's safe to say fraudsters are also utilizing technology to get smarter every year. So I'm wondering if you could just tell us a bit about that. What do you see as the evolving tools that fraudsters have in their kind of hand of cards to try and, you know, outplay retailers? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's that thing around, we get up every day looking how to stop fraud, and these guys, they're organized businesses like we are a business in looking how they can actually outsmart us. It's definitely becoming more sophisticated, and I always state this, that if fraudsters were a country, they'd have the third largest GDP, around 10 trillion in the world, and that's just behind the USA and China, and somewhat ahead of Japan. So it's extremely lucrative, it's extremely successful because of technology changes, and they're working hard to grow and innovate. So some of the new things we're seeing are, friendly fraud. So it's kind of an odd one, because no fraud is friendly, but it's generally perpetrated by cardholders, customers that shop with the merchant. So I guess friends of the merchant. So customers disputing legitimate transactions or refund policy abuse. So we're seeing an awful lot of that. We're also seeing a big increase in synthetic identity fraud, as merchants, retailers want to personalize experiences. So they want to gather more data and tailor offerings to a customer, but the data is stored and the fraudsters are coming and using AI to scrape all the data and build synthetic identities, false documents. So they're using the tools that they go on the dark web to generate fake IDs and orchestrate, bots that do card testing, looking for the gaps in security and using all this data to pose as the legitimate buyer. So the upshot really is that retailers do need to brace ever smarter technologies to combat these ever smarter attacks. And they need to move away, I think, from the legacy rules-based systems that they've been using to machine learning modeling, using real-time monitoring, and really catching these fraudsters right from the outset. So starting earlier in the process, I'd say.
Yeah, it is. It's a disturbing thing, though, isn't it? It's like, you know, every time a really good tool is invented to combat fraud, you have to then be aware of the fact that at some point you're waiting for that to be kind of broken, aren't you? So I guess it's, as you say, it's just always being cognizant that this, you know, you're never necessarily in a completely secure system unless you are keeping up with what's happening. And dare I say it, that you probably need a partner who understands what's happening in fraud to be able to then combat it.
100%. We come across people that, or merchants, should I say, that have their own thing, or they buy something, but it's not necessarily the full picture, and the implementation is key. So having a consultative partner that is an expert in this space is really key. But also key is adopting, as you've just touched on, they're always changing. So your solution has to be adaptive. Whatever we make, they try to break. But if you pick patterns and you're constantly scanning using, say, consortium data across all the merchant base or bespoke to a particular vertical, you will be able to constantly train the models and pick up on business model specific fraud types or industry specific fraud types. And then, you know, sort of constantly evolving and adapting the approach to fraud detection. And that's how it needs to work. It can't be a static rules-based system anymore.
On that point, really, it can be really overwhelming with the, you know, there's so many incredible tools out there at the moment. And each one, if you don't understand what's happening in payment, it can be quite hard to kind of know what direction to take as a retailer. So I'm wondering, is it possible for you to kind of recommend your one or two areas to focus investment, especially maybe for SMEs who, you know, they don't have endless budgets, especially these days, to kind of the maximum protection you can get, you know, but with just a few strategic investments. Is that kind of possible, or is that kind of pie in the sky thinking?
No. I think there are definitely two areas that come to mind, and I've talked about them and on stage with merchants about. One of the key things is data, your visibility and intelligence, your insights into where your pain points are. So analytics, whether an SMB or an enterprise, maybe the sophistication is slightly different and the scale, but getting full visibility into your payment flows and cost drivers. So even if you look at your payment gateway report and see that a large number of your drop-offs, cart abandonment, is for certain reasons, that's really key, is understanding where you are losing those transactions. And data, it's not a cost heavy component in the armory, and so getting real time. So for example, one of our global retailers uses a reporting platform to get real time insights across their 11 markets, and that helps them to spot patterns of fraud or patterns of drop off and optimize the payment behaviors utilizing different products and solutions that might address those particular needs. The second thing, as we've touched on quite a bit through the security theme, is investing in the smart latest generation fraud prevention solution. And it's to be AI driven, machine learning, monitoring, transaction risk analysis. And the payoffs for that will be huge, and particularly for the return on investment. We do often talk to our retailers, merchants, about what it's costing them versus the investment in such a solution that will, you know, really, really avoid the pain and cost of fraud going forward. So I think those are the two areas, really: data visibility and intelligent automation to ensure you're optimizing the chances of successful outcomes, reducing risk and reducing the cost that's silently eroding your profit.
And then one of the things that's been mentioned a bit already, especially when we're talking about transactional risk analysis, is the impact that actually AI, automation, you know, machine learning, these things are having on the payments industry. So I'm wondering, are there any hidden risks or blind spots actually from relying on AI-driven security? The only reason I ask is because it's one of those terms, AI. It's a buzz term in the industry these days, isn't it? And it's one that I think elicits some very different reactions depending on who you're speaking to, especially those who maybe don't know too much about how AI, it all kind of seems a bit like wizardry, doesn't it, from the outside, really? So, yeah, what do you think about that?
So I agree completely. AI is a buzzword. And as I've mentioned, machine learning and the AI decisioning that, that sits with that, that, that is supremely powerful. It can give false confidence if it's misused. And as you mentioned, you know, tech overload. I think retailers can be prone because they want to fight and be sold something to pile on new tools without having a very clear strategy. And it's an over-reliance, say, on a black box. And if you just rely on it on its own, if a model isn't constantly reviewed, trained, it can become too strict. So it can block loads of transactions. So wanting to, you know, stopping the good, as we mentioned, to, you know, stop the bad. If the data isn't constantly updated, it's stale data, it could, say, falsely reject customers. And I think Visa found up to 8% of legitimate transactions had been declined for avoidable reasons. AI models, machine learning models, they can be fooled by the novel attacks. You know, fraudsters, they're constantly coming up with different ways to try and break these systems. And the machine, the models need to be trained on latest schemes and constantly be adaptive. So thinking about, you know, AI or just in use of it, it should be seen more of as an assistant, I'd say, not as a magic bullet, a silver bullet. Always some sort of human oversight is advisable. So I think, as I would say, AI and HI is important to constantly retrain and refresh data. And also, it, you know, just you get the alerts from the system, but verification is also important. So fraud teams would be, you know, they get the insights and then they can decide whether they want to disagree or agree. So I think, in short, it is advisable to avoid buying every shiny AI tool. And as you mentioned, work with a trusted partner that, that will have a consultancy approach and really look at the unique use case and risk models and help with the most appropriate thing.
You have an incredible history working for an array of different really amazing businesses. One of them, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a background at BT managing PCI security across some, you know, very vast platforms. So what are the key lessons you've learnt about embedding a culture of security across actually obviously quite complex organizations, not just implementing the technology?
I think that is a really, really important question, and one that I learned from networking extensively across payment security professionals over my tenure, is that payment security and compliance needs to be a tone from the top. The biggest lesson I learned is that culture will eat any tech for breakfast. So culture, so when I was at BT, as you mentioned, it was one of the brand values was trust. And any data protection infringement, whether it was DPA, GDPR, or PCI DSS compliance breach, was an absolute no-no. So it was from the tone from the top was we must put in place everything that is necessary to protect and secure the data that we're responsible for. And tone from the top, buy-in, and the communication about why security matters to everyone is really a key lesson that I learned. And when I spoke to others, I realized that I was in a very fortunate position. And that is advice that I give to merchants or contacts that I speak to when they're having difficulty in explaining why this is so important. It's important because in order to operate an effective security program, you need regular training, you need very clear policies, you need to celebrate wins. You know, maybe it's a year without breaches. It's something that everyone buys into. And it isn't just about the tech. It's a people thing. It's a people, process, and technology program. And people are at the heart of everything. The security needs to align with the business objectives and the business goals. And from that, as we've talked about before, it is a lever to enable, you know, true growth as an organization, customer base, trust, and revenue.
That rings so true, doesn't it, that actually getting that internal investment, that is surely half the battle, actually, getting people to understand. And obviously, when we look at security from a wider lens, the volume of breaches that can just come from someone internally opening a rogue email or, you know, not understanding how vulnerable they can make their business. It's quite shocking, really, when you read up on it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And phishing attacks, they're a massive source of data breach and social engineering. And I believe that's at the root of some of the recent breaches you alluded to and are in the press right now. I think it's important that everybody understands, feels responsible for payment security. It becomes part of the day to day. It's not not an afterthought. And as you say, people are absolutely core to it. So culture, eating tech every time. Accountability. Yeah.
Fantastic. And then I guess we have to talk about the fact, say it happens, as we've mentioned a few times already, for lots of people in our industry at the moment, it has happened. And so we talk so much about the concept of resilience these days, and not just technical resilience, but operational resilience. You have to be able to bounce back if the worst does happen. So what role does payment security actually play in ensuring that retailers can withstand and bounce back quickly from cyber incidents or breaches if, you know, God forbid, they do actually happen?
Yeah, it is one of those sad realities. Even if you're the biggest merchant with all your PCI compliance in place, that it is, I always operated on it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And it comes back to not seeing frameworks like PCI DSS compliance as just a burden, that as part of that baseline security, you would be expected to run annual incident response tests and to be able to make sure that you have your resilience, your fallback strategies, that there's sort of briefing strategy in place, who is going to do what, how you're going to manage customers who are going to naturally be disturbed and need to be informed, or how you're going to, you know, let the brands that you're acquiring know that something's happened. So you are prepared. Payment security, as I said right at the outset, is a cornerstone of optimization, but of resilience. It is a huge thing to have in place and to be prepared for when something goes wrong. And also working again with, you know, partners that have secure and robust payment systems that will enable you to continue fallback and continue to take payments should you be breached in one particular channel. You can work with your providers to switch from one channel to another. And again, just coming back to being resilient, if you do have strong fraud monitoring and effective security controls, a la PCI DSS in place, it also means these threats can be caught earlier and contained earlier, limiting the damage. So in practice, it would mean that any attack or glitch may have less chance of grinding the business to a halt completely, protecting a cash flow. And also the way you deal with a breach, as I touched on, having your media, your legal statements, having everything ready to go, it also helps protect your customer trust. It's often the way, if you're being communicated with and you understand what's being done to contain that breach quickly, your customers, shoppers will continue to remain confident. It can only bode well. Because these things, unfortunately, however well prepared you are, as you say, they can happen.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of disturbing to hear, but actually a very good point that it's that kind of mindset of not if, but when. And it sounds like actually there is so much, the positive there is there's so much you can do to make sure that you are protecting yourself as much as possible. And if the worst does happen, you have immediate scenarios. You're not just flailing your arms around, you know, hoping for the best.
Exactly. And when you're well monitored and you're secure, you can recover in hours rather than days. And that's all bottom line at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really sorry to say we're very nearly out of time because it's been such a great conversation with you. I do have one final question for you, though. It's a biggie, but I always like to end with something along these lines, something nice and actionable for our listeners. So if you could give one piece of vital advice to our listeners right now about securing their payment ecosystems in 2025, what would that one piece of advice be?
One piece of advice. Okay. My urgent advice would be to act now to modernize your payments systems and make sure that you are investing in security. The winners in 2025 and beyond are those that are going to treat security as a strategic asset to help you cut costs, reduce fraud, and increase your successful outcomes, which will boost your revenue. So security at heart.
Fantastic. Well, it has been such a pleasure, Candice. Thank you so much for your time. And look forward to hopefully speaking to you again in the near future.
Well, thank you for your time.